The Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter, verses 19 through 31, pages 1095 in your Red Pew Bible, and I encourage you to open it up and read along. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of our Lord. I went to to the Lowe's in South San Jose several weeks back, looking for a pop-up canopy. You know those pop-up canopies? To keep the sun off me and those who are going to be with me during Viva Calle. I don't know if anybody went to that. It's a bike ride, walk, scooter thing, where you go from Bequesto Park to the Rose Garden by way of Arena Green. But anyway, it's really fun. So you see all these fancy bikes. It's really fun. But I was looking for a pop-up tent, looking for a pop-up canopy. The online, it said there were 10 in stock. So I went there to the aisle it was supposed to be, and I looked and I looked and I looked, and I couldn't find it. Finally, I asked somebody. They were behind the Christmas trees and the lighted wire deer. And it was the second week of September. And it was 90 degrees out. So given that, anybody done their Christmas shopping, by the way? No. Yeah, well, get started. The stuff's out there. So given that in today's text, and I'll explain the link to the text shortly, I'm going to test your recall of the characters, setting, and plot of Charles Dickens' novella, A Christmas Carol. You guys ready? I'm going to test your recall. Okay, the characters. Who can tell me one of the characters of A Christmas Carol? Tiny Tim. Tell me about Tiny Tim.
He was a little kid that had a bad leg or something and couldn't walk around. He needed an operation, but of course they couldn't afford it.
They couldn't afford it. Well, very good. He just kind of existed. What was his disposition, though?
He was happy.
He was happy.
He was happy because he didn't just mourn over the stuff that he didn't have to rejoice what he had.
Yeah, it was delight.
Plum pudding.
Who else? So we've got Tiny Tim. What? And tell me about the rest of his family. Anyone? What was his dad's name? Bob Cratchit. Right. Anyone remember his sister? He had two of them that are named. Okay. Martha was one of them. She was a milliner. Milliner's aide. What is a milliner? Hat maker. Is that what they are? Yeah. And the other one was Belinda. She was a high school student. Okay, so we got their family. There was also a wife and two kids that weren't named. So that's the Cratchit family. Who else is in the story? Scrooge. Tell me about Scrooge. Anyone? It's a great name, by the way. It was made up. It was made up by probably made up by Dickens, but from the word scrooge, which is a word that was common in the 18th century and 19th century, and that word is a portmanteau of squeeze and gouge. How's that reflected in Ebenezer Scrooge's name? I mean, life. Yeah, what was he like, Ebenezer? Business, business, business. Money loving, unhappy. A miser. What's that? Tight fisted. Yeah. Okay, I heard another name, Jacob Marley. Tell me about him. Who was he? Scrooge's partner. Scrooge's partner. Anything else about him? He's a ghost in the story. Yeah, so there's about 30 movies out there. What's he dragging around when he's chains? What's he looking like as a ghost? Not too good? Yeah, so we got Scrooge, we got the Jacob Marley. Who else is in the story? We got a fan, we got a sister fan, that's Ebenezer's sister. Anyone else? The ghost of? Christmas past, the ghost of? Christmas present, ghost of prison, yes. Fezziwig, yes, his business, and Fezziwig was everything Scrooge wasn't. Happy, joyful, and Belle, the great love of his life, why did she leave him? Because he ignored her while he was chasing money. Yeah, exactly that. Okay, so we know the characters. Tell me about the setting. What was the setting? Anyone remember? England, London, 1850s. What was the atmosphere like? Smoky, dark, damp. Yeah, very good. And let's see, the plot. Anyone want to tell me the sketch the plot for me briefly? What happens first? Go for it. He goes to sleep, and? He's woken up by Marley first. That's right. Yeah, very good. Yeah. And then what happens?
Then Marley says, "You have to look at this. Come here with me."
Okay.
And he shows him the first ghost with the Christmas past.
Uh-huh.
And points at him and says, this is what you were doing, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah?
He says to him, "You're going to be visited by three ghosts. I don't want you to end up like me."
Oh, I don't want you to end up like me. That's a good detail. Tell the story. No, I like this thing. Tell it together. We all see different things when we watch a movie. This is great. So keep going. But Jacob Marley doesn't want Ebenezer to turn out like him, so then he introduces him to the ghost. Keep going. Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. And goes to sleep again, and a little while later he's woken up by the ghost of the Christmas present.
Yeah.
And then they're showing him in his office working.
Yeah.
And they also show the Cratchit family,
celebrating.
Dinner and having a nice time and all this kind of stuff. And he's sad, they're happy, and he doesn't like that. Then he goes to sleep again, woken up a third time.
The hoodie.
Goes down, points, this is going to be your future, it's not going to be good. And then he points to the grave, and he says his name is on the grave, and this is bad, and he has a fit. And depending upon what story you have, what character, could be, Mr. McGee played that part.
Yeah, right. So then what he does, what's the very final thing? What does he do? Yeah.
Family, and got him a big turkey with razzleberry dressing.
Way to go.
And they had a great, wonderful time.
So, yeah, very good. So you guys all remember the story now. It's all coming back to you. Okay, so you want to know why I asked you this story. This brings us to the gospel text, and you might want to take the gospel text out again. The story of the rich man and Lazarus, Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, found on page 1091. Dickens scholars and theologians are divided over whether or not A Christmas Carol reflects a purely materialistic ethos or a deeply Christian one. In fact, they suggest it might be a retelling of our Lord's parable, the one that we find today in the gospel. That's the link for me. Now, the academic in me wants to know, what's your proof? In favor of the first position, Dickens was absolutely outspoken in his criticism of clerics. You know, whether they were Catholic or Anglican or anything else, he didn't like any of them. And he rarely went to church. In favor of the second position, Dickens was raised by his grandmother in a church-going home, and he certainly knew these stories. If Dickens' novella, A Christmas Carol, is a retelling of Jesus' parable, The Rich Man and Lazarus, who is the rich man in Dickens' story? Be careful. Be careful. What's your other option? Nope. Who is the rich man? It's Jacob Marley, right? Because in the parable, it's the rich man who wants to go back and warn his brothers. So if Marley is the rich man, who is the brother? Scrooge. That would be Scrooge, right? So who is Lazarus in A Christmas Carol? Bob Cratchit, right. And instead of being the beggar laying on a stoop, what is Cratchit's relationship? His employer, yeah. So it's a parallel story, but there's a twist. And the twist is in the ending. It's an alternate ending. And what is that alternate ending? Think about it. He doesn't get another chance in the gospel. In the gospel, Jesus says what? He says, no, you can't go back. Because if you didn't believe the scriptures, you're not going to believe a resurrection either, right? And in Dickens tries a different ending. He says, what happens if the guy goes back? So this twist has given me pause this week. And this is the pause. In Jesus' parable, a person steeped in Scripture, scholars assume this because Jesus is telling the story to Pharisees, scriptures that teach he ought to be concerned for the poor would not repent even if someone were to rise from the dead. Indeed, his knowledge of Scripture is what keeps him from repenting. He uses it. He uses it to do that. In Dickens' parable, a person who is apparently secular in every way, has no apparent knowledge of the scriptures at all, does repent when he views his past, his present, and his future. Think about that. Now, I'm not a man who would, you know, thinks of himself as rich, necessarily. I mean, not material, anyways. So I could dismiss this, but given my age, my length and time of faith, and my familiarity with Scripture, I wonder three things. What would I see if I was visited by spirits of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas yet to come? What if I did look back on my life? What would I see? The second thing I wonder is, what have I missed? Or what have you missed? Not necessarily with regards to teaching about richness, about money, but in other things. What have you missed in Scripture? What have I missed in Scripture? What have we simply ignored? Or what have we even used other passages to explain away? And the last thing I wonder is, what joys have I or you forsaken, not paying attention to the Word of God? As we come to the prayers of the people and Eucharist, and as we go forth from here, I encourage you to reflect more on this story. of the rich man and Lazarus. Recalling as you do the words of forgiveness spoken earlier today, which say, God, who is rich in mercy, reaches down to us in love and forgiveness. In Christ, God came to be one with us and to bring us salvation. Trust in this truth. Never let it go. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the reading, with reciting together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the prayers of the people.
Is it on? On? Okay. Good morning. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, you are the God of mystery and wonder. We thank you for all your gifts, for the gift of creation, food, music, family, friends, and all your many other blessings. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we pray for our own nation and for the nations of the world, holding before you especially the suffering people, Syria, Israel, Palestine, and parts of Africa and Central America. May those who live in fear for their lives of persecution, deportation, starvation, and injustice feel the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen them in their time of trial. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the needs of the world. May peace come to places where people who learn to celebrate their common needs instead of focusing on their differences. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, receive all our prayers, not as we ask in our sinfulness, but as you have promised through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we humbly pray. Lord, in your mercy.
And a few particular prayers to bring out. Jerry Hedquist left this service this morning because he wasn't feeling well. We lift him up. Carl Kessel is scheduled to have back surgery at El Camino Hospital in Los Gatos this week. Keep him in your thoughts. Jeanette Kessel is currently in the hospital due to internal bleeding. We lift her up. Joe Way and Colin Campbell are traveling. We lift them up. And then finally, we lift up the twins, Melanie and Caspian Lozia, great-grandchildren for Annette and Sam, who were born prematurely and are struggling. Lord, in your mercy, for any other prayers that are in our hearts that have not been mentioned, Lord, just be with us. You know our hearts. You are good in all things. In Christ's name, amen.